Breakfast with Laura Chilingirian.
2016, it was a huge year for scientists and Australian scientists at that. And a list has been compiled by the Australian Science Media Centre's Dr. Joe Milton to look at the highs and lows in research for science and research for 2016. And Dr. Joe Milton joins me now. Good morning.
Hi, Laura. Good to be here.
Now, an interesting list has been put together here. You've really gone worldwide talking about Zika, black holes, the Great Barrier Reef, coffee. What do you consider the top science event this year?
Well, I think one of the biggest developments for me was the announcement that we've got the world's first three-parent baby born this year. And scientists announced that in September. So that's the first ever human being that has more than two people's DNA.
And how did that happen?
Well, this is all about curing rare diseases, particularly the kind of disease called mitochondrial disease. Now, mitochondria are little energy factories that live in your cells. And when things go wrong with those mitochondria, you can have really serious problems. So this baby's mum had faulty mitochondria. So to avoid the baby getting the disease, what they do is they use something called mitochondrial DNA transfer. Now, that involves using the DNA from the main part of the DNA from the mum, but just replacing that tiny bit of mitochondrial DNA with some DNA from a donor who's got healthy mitochondria. So this was a little boy. He was 5 months old in September, and it appears to have allowed him to avoid developing something called Leigh syndrome, which is a pretty nasty condition that kills kids.
Mm. And this all happened in the US or Mexico?
Well, it was done by Mexican scientists, but this is very controversial because most countries around the world haven't agreed yet that it's okay to use these techniques. And that's right. Because that DNA would actually be passed on to the next generation. So it's not just going to be in that one individual. However, in this case, it's a boy. And we inherit that mitochondrial DNA from our mums only. So in this case, that won't actually be passed on. But these techniques aren't allowed in most countries. So the scientists had done it in Mexico. And the main American scientist behind it is actually quoted as saying, there are no rules there.
Right. Now, it was a year of, and this is a quote from you, of a year of Great Barrier Grief. We're obviously hearing more and more disturbing reports about how the reef is coping with mass bleaching and climate change.
That's right. So it was a pretty grim year for the reef this year. We heard in April that there's now only 7% of the Great Barrier Reef that hasn't been touched by coral bleaching. Now, that's a mixture, so it's not all very severe. There's a mixture of very severe, moderate and more mild damage. But then in November, scientists reported some really worrying news that the corals at the northern end of the reef had been really badly affected late last year, and we really found that out this year. So we found out that the central northerly region of the reef around Cooktown, it's lost about two-thirds of its corals, while the far north has lost a quarter. Now, the losses in the central and southern regions were a bit more modest, but those are the areas that have been affected by gradual coral bleaching over a much longer period. So all in all, pretty scary news for the Great Barrier Reef this year.
And it's interesting because we've seen reports and studies saying that tourists are trying to get to the reef as fast as possible because they're worried that it might not be there in the future. But it's still looking amazing. But unfortunately, this is gradually deteriorating, right?
That's right. I mean, there was some more positive news after we heard those horrible reports about all these corals dying. Scientists said that some of the corals are getting their colour back. And gradually recovering, but that full recovery could take about 10 to 15 years, and it will depend on clean water around the reef, and also the temperature of the water is very important. It's probably increased water temperatures, which scientists think is due to climate change, that have caused a lot of this bleaching.
Now, at the start of the year, the Zika virus was a lot of, there was a lot of talk about it. It went viral pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. So Zika was actually first discovered in 1947, but of course none of us had really heard of it because it hadn't spread around the world. And it wasn't really until 2016 when there was a big outbreak that spread from Brazil across the Americas and into the Caribbean. And the World Health Organization announced that it was a public health emergency of international concern. So that's when we all really found out about it. Now, anywhere that has the type of mosquito that spreads Zika, which is a type called Anopheles, could potentially harbour that disease. And we do get those mosquitoes up in the north of Australia. So a bit of a concern, although it does look like that Zika hasn't been spreading in Australia so far.
Another major top 10 story is all about our health and the fact that the global scale's tipped in favour of obesity. We do seem to be getting more and more unhealthy, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. And it's obesity's really been a problem of the developed world, of the wealthier nations, but it's starting to creep in the developing world and poorer countries as well. And that means that 2016 was the year when we actually had more obese people on the planet than we have underweight people on the planet for the very first time. There's about 641 million of us who now qualify as being obese, which is around 1 in 10 men and 1 in 7 women around the world. And the scientists say that's the equivalent of us as the human race putting on about 1.5 kilograms per person per decade. And if that current trend continues, then about a fifth of the world's population will be obese by 2025. And even more worryingly, in Australia, that would be 2 out of every 5 people. So the rates in Australia would be twice the obesity rates in the world at large.
And another two that really stood out to me in the top 10 list, we're looking at the Paris Agreement, of course, on climate change, and coffee, given an unclear cancer all clear. What's that all about?
That's right. So this is the International Agency for Research in Cancer, which is the cancer arm of the World Health Organization. Now, they have the job of classifying things as to whether or not we think they cause cancer based on the evidence that's available. And they'd previously thought that there was a chance coffee did cause cancer. They'd classified it as possibly carcinogenic to humans. But this year they reviewed all the evidence and they then announced that coffee is in fact not classifiable as to its carcinogenicity to humans. Now, it's not very clear, is it? It's about as clear as the sludge at the bottom of a coffee cup. But essentially, it means that you can enjoy your coffee with a bit more peace of mind because we're now more sure than we were that it's not giving you cancer.
And we are running out of time, unfortunately, Dr. Milton, but we started off the half an hour with a song, Weird Science, and there is always weird science about. What was among the top 10 weird science stories of the year?
Well, we had an amazing case study, really, of a bloke who entered a chili-eating competition and he actually had to have part of his esophagus removed after doctors found a 2.5-centimetre rupture.
Ouch.
Pretty nasty one there. We also learned this year that meerkats, I bet you thought they were cute, cuddly and lovely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
They're gorgeous.
They're actually stone cold killers, the most prolific murderers in the world of mammals, in fact. So watch out next time you're at the zoo.
6 new ones were born yesterday at Taronga Zoo, so we'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Yep.
And just looking ahead to 2017, are we likely to see more scientific discoveries building on the research that's been released this year?
Yes, we are. And I think one area that's worth watching is something called genome editing. And that's a kind of genetic modification technique. But rather than inserting foreign genes into things, what scientists are now more and more able to do accurately is edit DNA within a living being. And that could lead to incredible advances in medicine. So that's really one to watch out for in the coming year.
Okay, Dr. Joe Milton, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura.